Praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If you should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Just bow your head and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we're just in awesome of your presence, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you for doing the things, getting us through. Kind of a tough week, Lord God, but those type of things that sing out of God's love, those things are happening. They continue as we continue to grow in you, Father God. And we're asking you, Lord, to continue to supply all needs, coin riches, and glory for families that are really hurting right now. Physical touches and also spiritual touch. We need that, Father God. We need that from you when you're there. You haven't forsaken any of us. And help us get that in our system too, in our minds and our hearts, that we got to know that you are nearby. We're not alone. I promise that was one of the promises that you gave us, as many more. But the thing is, we just have to look at you, to keep seeking you out first and your righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. We get to decrease so you can increase in your life. Even though stuff beyond these walls are going on still in this world. You know, it's an evil world out there, you know, and the thing is, too, we can get to where he that is in us is greater than he is in the world. So remember those things. Help us have a hunger for you, Lord God, and your righteousness. I know he passes his mind, his heart, his tongue, as the word goes through him, like rivers of living water, but also the one doing the meditation this morning. Touch that person. Draw them to yourself. Empower them and continue to do the things they're called to do this morning, Father God, as we continue to lean on you for your understanding. I know your ways aren't ours, and I know people are going through some tough times this particular week. I ask you to just touch them in a special way. Bring healing upon each and every one of them. Each and every one of us, either whether or not it's been spoken or not, are going through something in our minds. Our hearts, we're absorbed a lot this week. Guide us during these times. We need you once again. Nothing's too difficult for you. You still sit at the right hand of the Father, and you're intervening for all of us right now. So, beginning not as God has not forgotten anything. So the thing is, He cares about every one of us. I don't care what we think is minor to Him; it's very important to Him and the kingdom. So keep us focused on you. And once again, we thank you, Lord, again for this body. And as we continue to pray, we lift you up, Father God. We thank you for being who you are, going to the cross, taking that pain, taking all of these circumstances that are out here in this body today, all the blood, sweat, and tears, all the situations that have happened, Father God, the tragedy, all anything that's bothering, touching us, waiting on you for answers to situations that have actually happened. And sometimes we're in a better place with you, Father God, but also too knowing that you still have the love and the compassion for us. You always will. You care about each and every one of us, every circumstance. So we lift that on up high in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're dismissed for Children's Church, and turn with me again to Joshua chapter 14. Today and next week, I'm going to finalize this series on Caleb. But Joshua chapter 14, I'm going to read verse 8 through 11. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. And as yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example that Caleb gives us in the scriptures, and Joshua. But for Caleb here, that he wholly followed you, Lord. Fully, completely. That needs to be our vision and our goal for our lives. To follow you. Lord, may this message be a blessing and a challenge to every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we've gone through two of the 5 points of this message so far. Remember, Caleb wholly followed the Lord, his God. The word wholly in the Hebrew means male mala, and it means to be full of, to be fenced, to flow with, to replenish, and to satisfy. Okay, those 5 points. To be full of God, to be fenced in by God, to flow with God, to be replenished by God, and be satisfied with God. Right, those 5 points are very, very important as we look at this life of Caleb. I love this, how he said in verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, for both going out and for coming in. He's 85 years old at this point. And I used to think, and I've preached it before, I'm 85 years old, and I'm just as strong as I was back then. But I actually don't. The more I read this, I don't see that. I see an 85-year-old, mature man in God that's still standing up, still standing strong, saying, I am just as strong now as I was 45 years ago. Why? Because the Lord God is in me. Because I have the power of God in me. And that is not for a little man like this, you're going to go like this. It's for a man that hold himself up, hold himself strong. I don't care how old we get.
That's right.
We can still, we may be bent over physically, but in our heart and in our minds, in our very spirit, we can stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah. Amen? Because when we war against the enemy, we're not warring with these physical attributes like Caleb had to when he went in. God kept him strong like that because he had to go in and physically make war. But we make war now, not in flesh and blood, but in what? In the spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark world. And what is the thing that the devil is doing in the body of Christ? He is bringing in discouragement. He is bringing in doubt. He is bringing in my soul, I'm cast down. He is bringing in all kinds of stuff that is of the flesh. And we are never going to battle that with fleshly attributes. We have to battle in the spirit. What has God given you? What has he given me? He's given me the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Caleb, he was a man that was full of God. We went through this 2 weeks ago. He was full of God. He was to over. Remember what I was showing you. Do you remember that? You
know, I remember.
He was just full of God, right? Yeah, he was. He was full of God. But then he also was fenced in by God. Now, we don't like fences. We don't like restrictions. But God doesn't restrict us because and fence us in because it's just an old Oregon said, no, you don't do that. Well, it's fun. Don't do that. See, he says don't because it will be a detriment to you in the long run. Devil comes in with all kinds of temptations that feel good, that make you feel, whoa, you know, and all, but in the end, they do not produce the peaceable fruits of righteousness. He fences us in for two reasons. Number one, it's that fencing in that causes power to flow. You understand what a hydroelectric power dam is. They take the water of a river and they focus it into this one stream, and with the power, the water goes through this incredible. Then they put the turbine in that, and the turbine goes like that, and it creates electricity. If they took the turbine and just set it in the river, it would do nothing. God fences us in to create a power. And the second thing is that he fences us in for our protection.
That's right.
Remember I told you about the playground that back, it was many, many years ago, and I read the study on this, and there was roads that went on all four sides of this playground, and but there was no fence, and the kids played in the middle, because as they got towards the end, the outside, it was kind of scary, because they were getting into territory where they could get hurt. So they put a fence up all the way around the outside next to the road. You know what happened? Almost immediately, the kids started exploring the whole part of that playground. Because when the fence was there, they felt safe. See, that's what we want to see when we look at the Word of God, is how it fences us in. It causes us to be safe. When we're on this side of the fence, we know we're safe. If we go on the other side of the fence, we're not safe. But on this side of the fence, we get to explore everything in that fence. Amen?
Amen.
So he was fenced in by God. Today I want us to look at the fact that Caleb flowed with God. He just simply flowed with God. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 9, it says this: So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. All right, it says here, So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden. Where did Caleb's feet trod on? But the land that God told them to go into. They only went in where God told them to. He said to Caleb, he said to Joshua and the 10 other spies, you go in, you check out the promised land, and you come back and you bring word. So they went in, they checked out the promised land. 10 of them came back, said, there's giants in the land, and we can't beat them. And we're the grasshoppers in our sight, therefore we know we're grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua said, don't do this, you're rebelling against the Lord. He told us to go in and check it out. We went and checked it out. Every place on which your feet shall tread, I have given it to you. What God is saying, what he was saying to Joshua and Caleb and to the rest of them was, I told you to go in and walk out your possession. So Joshua and Caleb only went where God had told them. They flowed with God's. Caleb's feet only went where God ordered them, and his words always exalted the Lord. So how do I flow with God? How did Caleb flow with God? We're talking about Caleb here, but I get the two mixed up, because Joshua and Caleb were like this, you know, they were buddies, and they worked together. But here, how do you flow with God? I came up with four things in prayer. I believe that God gave me four ways that I can flow with Him, and if I take any one of these four ways out, it's going to interrupt how I flow with God. The first one is to know His Word. Spoken and written. Spoken and written. You can read God's word and read God's word and read God's word, but I challenge you that when you read God's word, you say, God, I'm going to read your word, and I am going to expect that you're going to speak to me through these written words, these written letters on the page of this book. I'm going to read this, and I'm expecting, Lord, that when I read, that you're going to start bringing life to my spirit in this. That you're going to start opening up understanding that I've never had before. You know what that is? That's the spoken word of God. That's when God begins to speak to you according to his word. Listen to me. God will never speak to you that's contrary to his word.
Right.
Never.
Never.
That's why it's so important that you know this book. And you may say, oh, well, Pastor, I don't know the book anywhere near as you as well as you do. And I feel almost like, and I've had people say this, and I just feel like, you know, you just go from one scripture to the next, to the next, to the next, and I can't sometimes can't keep up with you. And how will I ever know the Word of God like you do? Well, let me tell you, I know men and I know women and know the Word of God better than I do. Don't you judge the way you know God's Word by the way I know God's Word. You judge God's Word according to your relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
And if you feel that you're lacking, you can't blame God and you can't blame me. You can only blame yourself. Thank you, Jim. That was a good word that you brought this morning, that we need to take responsibility for ourselves. We need to take responsibility for our relationship with Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus has never left me. He's never forsaken me. But I believe there may be times that he says, hey, Matthew, where are you? When he went into the garden after the first sin, and what did he say to Adam? He said to Adam, he says, where are you? Where are you? No, it wasn't like God didn't know where he was. He's asking that. He asked Adam that to make a point to Adam. Adam, you and I have walked so close together. From day one of your creation, you walk with me in the cool of the day. You're hiding on me now. Why? Where are you? What's going on in your life? Did you sin? See, before you ate that peach, and I still think it's a peach, it's not an apple. I would not be tempted by an apple.
It's a fruit.
Before you ate that, you didn't know what sin was. Now you do. You now have what the devil said you will have if you eat that. You're going to be like me in that you know the difference between good and evil. I did not want you to know that. So, God's word brings revelation to our own life and begins to reveal things to us. This is one of the reasons I believe that people kind of shy away from getting to know God through his word. It's because when they start seeing God in his clarity here, they begin to see the cloudiness that's in my life, and so therefore I am now put in a position of, am I going to deal with my life, or do I just neglect the Word of God and carry my Bible around saying, I am a Christian, I am a Christian, I am a Christian? You want to know the Word of God like I know the Word of God? Do I want to know the Word like other men that I know that know the Word better than I do? Then I need to emulate them. You know how I do that? By studying like they do. By being willing to say, I ain't got it all together. I'm not where I should be, but I want to be. So Lord, I'm going to do what Paul said. I'm going to press on to that upward call of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to press on in your word. I need to know God. If I'm going to flow with God, I have to know his word, spoken and written. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I hid in my heart, that I not sin against you. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God, listen to me, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart.
Right, right.
And this, Hebrews 4, 12, I challenge you to memorize that. I challenge you to. Because that is a key verse as to why people shy away from the Word of God rather than press in. Because it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart and of my heart. And I want to know. I want to know what it is that's between me and God.
Right.
And His Word is going to show it to me. And He will speak to me through His Word.
Yes, He will.
Caleb wanted to know God. He didn't want to know about God. There's a lot of Christians in this world that want to know everything they can know about God, but does it change their life?
No.
Does it actually bring change to know the Word of God? The second thing to flow with God is to know what God is doing. It's simply to know what God is doing. And how am I supposed to do that? Psalm 37, verse 4 says this: delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Turn with me to that Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You see, and to know what God is doing, there's two things you need to do. Number one, you need to lay down your own agenda.
Right. All right?
Lay down your own agenda. We all have agendas. Don't say you don't have an agenda. You have an agenda. You may not even know what the agenda is, but you have an agenda. We all do. Lay it down. Sometimes I think that we need to be more apt to say, God, I need to stop telling you what I'm going to do for you. And I need to start asking you, what do you want me to do? Not about what I'm going to do for you, God, because quite frankly, God doesn't need me to do anything for Him. He's self-sufficient. He can do it all by Himself. And if you look in the Scriptures, you'll see many times where He did.
Right.
But what I need to say is, God, I'm laying down my own agenda. I'm laying it down. It's not going to have, it's irrelevant. What is relevant is what your agenda is. So, Lord, speak to my heart and share with me what you are doing. And the second is to lay down your own desires. When you are willing to lay down your own desires, to give them over, to let them go, stop having them as a driving force in your life, then God will begin to show you what desire really is. And in that scripture, in verse 4 of Psalm 37, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. What He is saying here, what God is saying here, when you delight yourself in me. Wait, you know what delight is? I delight myself in my wife. I think she is just the coolest woman in this world. Some of you husbands think it's the same thing of your wife. Well, that's fine. You know, you're probably right in your own eyes, but not in mine. In mine, she is. Kathy is the delight of my life. I'm so looking forward to, within the next couple of weeks, depending on when Lauren gives birth, we are going to climb into our Sequoia, hook onto our camper, and we're going to disappear for 2 months. I even asked Kathy, I said, are you really going to be able to spend 2 months completely alone with me? Pray for her. Because I know I can with her. Why? Because I delight in her. she's the peach of my eye. Again, I'm not tempted by apples. She's the peach of my eyes. I would rather spend time with her than any of you. Yeah, really, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a bad way at all, you know? Because I really love you guys, but not as much as I love her. And I'm really looking forward to this 2 months with uninterrupted time with my wife. It's just too cool. It's a dream come true. All right? But I delight in her. And God says here, delight yourself in me. See, God wants us to have that delight in him.
That's right.
I delight in you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I'm laying down my agenda, Lord, for your agenda. And this is what he does. When you lay down your agenda and just delight in the Lord, it says here that he gives you the desires of your heart. He is not saying here that I'm going to give you every desire you have. What he is saying there, if you translate this Hebrew, he's saying, I will place upon your heart my desires. So when you delight yourself in me, I will take my delight in you, and I will take my desires for you, and I will place them on your heart. So when my desires are placed upon your heart, then those desires become your motivating factor in your life. See, we're motivated by the desires of our heart. But what desires do you have? Are they fleshly desires? Are they worldly desires? Or are they desires that God has placed upon your heart because you delight in him? Because that's the only way his desires are going to be placed on your heart. His desires are placed on your heart because you delight in him. You understand that? That's what Psalm 37 verse 4 is saying. When you delight in him, he will take his desires and put them into your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Therefore, when that happens, you will know what God's agenda is. How am I supposed to know God's agenda? Delight in him.
Yes.
How am I supposed to know what God is doing? Flow with him.
Yes.
Stop being a dam to the power of God in your life.
Amen.
You wonder how God's power is not flowing in my life. Well, stop damming it up. Start looking, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself if you're really walking with God. Do you delight in him above all things? I have a delight in my heart for my wife, but my delight for Jesus Christ has got to be stronger than the delight I have for her. She plays second fiddle in my life. She does.
And that's good.
And that's good. Because when she takes over the place of God, I made her God, and now she has control. And she is not to have control on me. God is to have control on me. So when I desire, my desires is for the Lord and the Lord only, and Kathy's desires is solely for the Lord, guess what? You have Matthew, you have Kathy, you have Jesus. So Matthew is going, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, I want Jesus. And Kathy going, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, I want Jesus, I want Jesus. What happens? God brings us to an intersecting point where we're walking as one. The only way a husband and wife in the Lord can walk as one is when they both hunger for Jesus more than they hunger for each other or anything else in the world.
Right.
Know what God is doing. Number three, oh, gee, knowing God's heart. Oh, my goodness gracious, knowing God's heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. Hallelujah. Know God's heart. And what is God's heart but to bring you life and that more abundance? That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. He says, a thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come to give you life and that more abundantly. Praise God for that. He's in the business of giving you life. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, what happened? God's heart was birthed in you. Hallelujah. When you start walking with him according to his word, what happens? God's heart burrs in you. Knowing God's heart is so, so important. Number four, be filled with the Spirit.
That's right.
Hallelujah for that. Be filled with the Spirit. Look with me in John chapter 7. And I will close with this. John chapter 7. Remember, I'm allowed three closers. This is closer number one. In John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. Jesus taught this. He says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not given, yet given, because Christ is not yet glorified. To know God, to be able to flow with God, to be in sync with God, you need to know his word, you need to know what God is doing, you need to know what God's heart is, and you need to be filled with his Spirit. I cannot ever stress that enough. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Yes.
The word flow that Jesus used here in verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The word flow that is used there in the Greek is rheo, and it means to gush forth. And the tense is a continual tense. That out of his heart will flow rivers of living water continually. Continually. Listen to me. Anybody here ever feel like they just get really tired? You know, this has been a week that was for me. I have been very tired. But you know something? God still renews.
Yes, he does.
And he still strengthens.
Yes.
I have to admit, man, I was tired when I came in here today. I was like, you know, and then all of a sudden we hear this big crash on the building. We'll run out there, and car crashed into the building. And I'm going, you know, like there's never a dull moment at Grace Christian Fellowship, and you know, and I was like, oh man, and I said, but you know something? I had to suck it up. You know, I had to pull my bootstraps up. And wait a minute, why? Because Jesus Christ still dwells within me, no matter what goes on. Jesus still dwells within me. He still dwells within you. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Yeah.
And I got to, it went from going, to where I can't wait till I get in the pulpit. I got a word this morning that I need to share. And so I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. God, I went in my office, God, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit so that your word would just gush forth. And God, and I was thinking this yesterday, and you know, I had those water bottles that in the last couple of weeks I've been using, you know, but this is a little different because, okay, this one right here, there's not much in it, and I can't, boy, she went, Carol, you always sit right there, you're a perfect target. You know, okay, you got a bottle here, right? There's not much water in here. Not much. And even a little less. And this, if this is me, empty, depleted, there's nothing comes forth. Nothing comes forth. But when I allow myself to be filled with the Spirit. I know it's a little messy getting filled with the Spirit, but that happens, you know. It spills out. When God starts spilling, what is it, people are starting to move because you're afraid? All right, now look, here I am. Now I'm just right filled up and overflowing. So now, with being full, what happens? When God puts me in a position where I need to minister in his name. He puts you in a position where you have to minister in his name. And you don't really know where it's going to come from, but you know that when God begins to squeeze you, what happens? What happens, you know? But, you know, I can keep doing that, but now it's getting less and less and less. What happens? See, I have to continue to be filled. And when I am continuing to be filled, I like this one, all right? You like that? I used my jackknife. I was going to put a little hole in it, and it went in quick into a slit, and I said, that can be interesting to see what that does. The point, though, is that you flow. But you can't flow if you're not being poured in. This, I know this is the third time I've done this demonstration. And there's a reason why God is having me do it a third time. Because somebody didn't get it. And you need to get it. Because this is important. This is not just show and tell. All right? I'm not doing this for just show and tell. I'm doing this to make a point. I want to be a man that's filled with the Word of God to the place where it gushes forth. But in order for it to gush forth, I have to continually be filled. And when I'm continually being filled and gush forth, oh, you know what I was going to do? I get right in the middle of what I'm doing, and I totally spaced it out. Anyways, in order for that to happen, I have to continually be filled with the Spirit of God. Because once I stop reading His Word and praying and seeking His face and wanting, delighting myself in Him, then it stops. And it will stop, but I can still minister for a while. Why? Because there's excess in there. But it gets to the place where there's just nothing left. And then we wonder why, God, why am I so depleted? Why do I feel like you're not there? How come there's nothing there when it's required of me to pour out? There's nothing to pour out. Why? God says, because you stop being filled by me. Because see, it says to be filled is a continual thing. It has to happen on a continual basis. Because when it does, then this is what happens. But when it doesn't, this is what happens. Empty. Did I get my point across?
Amen.
You understand what God, I believe God is trying to say to you and trying to say to me? One last point in Joshua chapter 14, and this is my second closing, but it's my last one. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 9, you go back there with me. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, and you're continually filled with the Spirit of God, it's not going to affect just you and the people around you, but it's going to affect your children. It will affect your kids. It will affect those that are closest to you. So all I can say is please, please, I know the hour is late, know God's Word. Know what God is doing. Know God's heart and be filled with His Spirit. And don't do what I did and get my notes all wet. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you. Let's stand. Church, let's stand before the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you just to just lift your hands, lift your arms up to Jesus. I believe that in this message that there's something that God really wants to do. There are those here that you've just feel like your life is dragging. You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. And God wants to fill you with His Spirit right now. But in being filled with His Spirit, you are purposing. You're purposing to know Him in His Word. Get in His Word. Get before Him and delight yourself in Him so you will know what His agenda is. And draw close to Him so that you will know His heart. And right now that He will fill you by His Spirit. Father, right now, flow into this place. Holy Spirit, even those who have not been baptized in you, even now, Lord, baptize them right where they're at. Baptize them in your spirit. Give them even their prayer language, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Start praising him. Praise him this morning, church. Praise him. We praise you. We bless your holy name, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, in the midst of storms, we bless you. We praise you. You online, praise him right now. Right where you're at in your living room, praise him. We praise you, Jesus. We love you. We glorify the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, flow into this place. Flow into everybody that's here, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. God, you are good. God, you are good. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to close in a song. If you need prayer, come on up. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his countenance shine, may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes.
I don't know why. Somebody's telling me to do this. Yesterday we went on a call to a young man who had overdosed. We worked him. I was breathing for him. The paramedics got there. They gave him some drugs. They brought him back. He's alive today. But I feel like we just need to pray for him. My prayer alone cannot do this. And on our way home, I want to stop and give him a Bible. I don't know why, but...
Well, we got a nice one you can give him.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for the salvation of this man who his physical life was saved yesterday. That his spiritual life be saved today. Father, that you anoint this man to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him in Jesus' name. Father, we're expecting to hear that he got saved. And Lord, perhaps he'll even be here next Sunday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. No condemnation. We all have sinned. We all struggle. We've all had addictions. We've all had have failed. So Lord, minister to that man. Plow up the ground of his heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, I just thank and praise you for the sensitivity and the spirit that this saint has, that Dave has, Lord. Lord God, I pray that each and every one of us here, we're encountered with things like this, sometimes daily. May we be sensitive to what your spirit wants us to do. That, Lord, we minister to those that need you. That, Lord God, we're having a good time today in the church. The party's great. But no one's coming to you. So, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that we become more sensitive and more like you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Dave is hearing you in his spirit. I thank you for this. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you need prayer, come on up.
Thank you.
Close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Else will do, 'cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back to you. Yeah. I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want.
Next week. Bring a friend. You excited about what God is doing here?
Yes.
Grab somebody and bring them along.